In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. A number of years ago, around Christmas time, I helped prepare a Christmas dinner at the Kyle Hotel in Temple. The Kyle is an old historic hotel that was converted into housing for people with limited incomes. Each year we would gather in the parish kitchen at Christ Church in Temple and cook a Christmas meal. Much of the food came from the recipes that had been handed down in my own family. Parishioners and people from the community helped pay for the food, set the tables, serve plates, clean up, bring gifts, play guitars, and sing. Then we all sat down together and ate with the people at the Kyle Hotel together. What I remember most is not just one particular dish, but I remember the room. I remember the people arriving, some carrying burdens that were obvious, and others carrying burdens that no one could see. I remember the tables filling up. I remember conversation and laughter. I remember people making room for one another. It was not the Eucharist. A Christmas dinner, no matter how loving or generous, is not the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. But looking back, I can see how that meal taught me something about the kind of world the Eucharist reveals to us. A world in which people are gathered, the hungry are fed, gifts are offered, and that there is room at the table. Today's gospel takes us to another meal, although it begins in a place where there should not have been a meal at all. Jesus has withdrawn to a deserted place. He has just received the terrible news that John the Baptist has been killed. John was the prophet who prepared the way for him. John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. And now John is dead. Jesus goes away to be by himself. Perhaps he needs silence. Perhaps he needs prayer. Perhaps he simply needs room to grieve. But the crowds follow him. When Jesus comes ashore, the deserted place is no longer deserted. Thousands of people are waiting for him. They have brought their sickness, their worry, their grief, their hope, and eventually their hunger. Matthew tells us that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had great compassion for them. That compassion is where our story begins. Jesus does not see this as an interruption. He sees people, he sees their need, and he draws near. By evening, the disciples recognize another problem. The people need food. Their solution is very reasonable. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. The disciples look at what they have, 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not enough, not even close. And perhaps that is familiar to us. We look at the needs around us or the needs within us, and we look at what we have, a little strength, a little patience, a little health, a little faith, a little hope, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus does not shame the disciples for having too little. He does not tell them, come back when you have enough. He says, bring them here to me. Then Matthew slows down the story. Jesus takes the loaves. He looks to heaven. He blesses them. He breaks them. He gives it to the disciples, and the disciples gives it to the people. Jesus takes. Jesus blesses. Jesus breaks, Jesus gives. Doesn't that sound familiar? For Christians, those actions are impossible to hear without thinking of the Eucharist. Later in Matthew's gospel, on the night before he dies, Jesus will take bread, bless it, break it, and give it to his disciples. At the Last Supper, he will say, "Take, eat, this is my body." The feeding of the 5,000 is not the institution of the Eucharist, but it points us toward it. It prepares us to recognize what Jesus does. He takes, he blesses, he gathers, he gives, and he feeds in great abundance. And that is why the Eucharist is so much more than just a religious reminder. We certainly remember, Christ's life, his death, his resurrection, and his promise to come again. But Christian remembrance at the altar is not simply thinking about something that happened long ago. In the Eucharist, Christ gives himself to us right here and right now. We bring bread and wine, we bring gifts, the gifts of creation and the work of human hands. We bring our prayers and our praise, and whether we realize it or not, we bring ourselves. We bring our gratitude and our grief. We bring our faith and our questions. We bring the things we are proud of and the things that we wish we could undo. We bring our tiredness. We bring our hope. And we bring our hunger. Then we pray. We ask God to sanctify these gifts by the Holy Spirit. And we receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Sometimes it is hard to grasp exactly what we mean when we call something a sacrament. A sacrament is an outward, invisible sign of which God gives inward and spiritual grace. It's an outward sign here and humbling. Bread and wine, yet the gift is not small. Christ gives us himself. We do not come to the altar merely to think about Jesus. We come to receive Jesus. That is one of the most pastoral things about our Eucharist. We come with our empty hands. We do not come forward because we have finally become sufficient. We do not come because we have solved all our problems or answered all our questions or gotten our lives perfectly in order. We come because we need grace. We come because we need mercy. We come because we need Christ. There may be some days when we come to this table full of joy and gratitude. There may be Sundays when we come grieving. There may be Sundays when our prayers feel alive. In others, when all we can manage to do is to walk forward and hold out our hands. The grace of the sacrament does not depend upon our ability to manufacture the right feeling. Christ is faithful, Christ is present, and Christ feeds his people. Matthew tells us all ate and were filled. All ate and were filled. Those words are worth lingering over. The crowd did not first have to prove they deserved to be fed. Jesus did not divide them into those who understood him well enough and those who did not. He saw hungry people, and he had compassion for them, and he fed them. There is a reason the church has always understood meals, bread, wine, hunger, and abundance as powerful signs of God's kingdom. We are embodied people. We need to be fed. We need something we can touch, taste, receive, and share. The same is true for us. The Eucharist is not the end. We receive communion. And God meets us there. In the Eucharist, grace is not merely an idea. God places grace right into our hands. A small piece of bread, a sip of wine, things that by themselves do not look like much. 5 loaves did not look like much either. And yet, in the hands of Christ, what appears small becomes the place where abundance is revealed. After the crowds ate, 12 baskets of broken pieces are gathered. There is more than enough. There's more than enough. And that does not mean the gospel promises that Christians will never experience scarcity, grief, or loss. Remember where this story began. John the Baptist is dead. And Jesus is grieving. The world is still wounded. But the abundance of God does not deny suffering. It declares that suffering will not have the final word. Sin will not have the final word. Scarcity will not have the final word. Death will not have the final word. Christ will. Christ will have the final word. Every time we gather around this table, we receive a foretaste of the banquet of God that God is preparing for all of creation. We are given a glimpse of God's future, people gathering, divisions healed, hunger ended, mercy overflowing, and room at the table. Something else in this gospel we should not miss. Jesus gives the bread to the disciples, and the disciples give it to the crowd. The disciples do not create the abundance, Jesus does, but he allows them to participate in giving it away. That's the same truth that is true for us. The Eucharist does not end when we receive communion. We are fed and then we are sent. We receive the body of Christ so that we may become more fully the body of Christ in the world. We receive mercy so that we may show mercy. We receive peace so that we may become peacemakers. We are welcomed at Christ's table so that we may learn to make room for others. That is part of what I remember about those Christmas dinners at the Kyle Hotel. People brought what they had. Someone cooked, someone served, someone brought a gift, someone played a song, someone pulled out another chair. No one person created the whole thing. But beneath all those small acts was a deeper truth. People were being told in a language as simple as food on a plate, you are seen, and there is a place for you here. And that is only an echo of what Christ says to us at this table. You are seen, you are loved, you are hungry, and I will feed you. You do not have to bring enough. Bring what you have. Bring yourself. Soon we will come forward and we will open our hands and we will look at what looks like only bread will be given to us with the words that proclaim a mystery deeper than we can fully explain. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. We will receive, we will be fed, and then we will be sent back into a hungry world carrying with us the life of the one who had compassion on the crowd, who took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it away. All ate and were filled. May we come hungry, may we receive with open hands, And having been fed by Christ, may we go and make room at the table for others. Alleluia, 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 amen.
Amen.